Glad you guys are hanging out with us. And we always like to have you check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com and Facebook. Like us, please.
Yep.
Cool things coming up, Don. We'll mention it. I know you can hear it in the promos. And the fishing with us.
A chance to go fishing with us.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, if you go online and you look at our website and you can see the guys that were there last year, and they made comments after they were there, I will tell you, they are still registering this year.
A bunch.
They would like to go back.
You can register every day. Understand that.
Yes.
You can register every day. And guess what?
It's a fun time. Hey, look, we're going up for 4 days. We're going to be staying at Ashkenham Lodge, and we provide all the food and all the fishing fun. About the only thing you got to do is get to your fishing license and get there, and we take
educational
care of the rest.
Fun, and yeah, it's as close to what it's a guided trip. We're just hosting, is what it is,
right?
But nonetheless, it's if I'm in a tournament situation, we're going to be looking for spots like we do in a tournament in my boat. So you get a bunch of different type of experiences. And, we'll have the 22-foot Vexus. We'll have the 20-foot Vexus up there. So you're going to get a chance to ride in a bunch of different boats, a lot of different philosophies in fishing. And it's sure to give you education as well as a ton of fun. So
you might pick up some new tips.
You might. Just maybe.
You just might.
You just might be able to watch me tie a special rig up and give it to Don like I did last year.
Yeah, he's not tying any of my rigs anymore.
Yeah, you've been fired. Yeah.
It's called the trick rig.
Yeah.
When you set the
I don't think he tried to tie it that way. I think he had a malfunction, and now he's making the claim.
Yeah. Oh, I did it
well,
on
do you
purpose.
Think I, Don, do you think I don't check the lines when I hand them out to everybody?
Yeah, well, it was tight till the knot come undone.
Oh, no, it was loose right away.
Oh, yeah.
It's the adjustable, sort of.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was.
Anyway. Caught fish.
It's all good. And that's what I figured. You catch fish anyway. But it's a good time. It really is a good time. And
beautiful scenery.
Yeah. It is amazing up there. Having worked up there as a kid, up on cab, and the access to go to a lot of different waters. And the nice part, too, is even if the wind blows, we got places we can go, because it blew a couple days up there.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty heavy duty, but we got her done and caught some fish. So great host, great area.
Get registered. Register every day.
Get registered every day. The Valley Outdoors.
Create your odds, because what we do is we put all the names in a hat and we pull them out. So the more times you're more
the
times
Valley
your
out,
name is.
Yep, thevalleyoutdoors.com and slide down to the Fish With Us tab. It's right there, and click on it and register. And again, do it every day. That's what the deal is. So we don't shy away from inviting people to
go fishing with us.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. One thing I wanted to bring up, last week we weren't able to record, and unfortunately our producer, our loved producer Ava, they lost their pup. One of their pups, and it was a sad deal. And so hearts go out to you, Ava.
Thank you.
We totally understand that, and it was difficult because I think we all kind of go through when we each lost a pet.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I know exactly.
This one I had since I was 19. I'm 31 now.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, most of my adult life I had her. And
yep.
Yeah,
makes it difficult.
Tough.
Yep, it makes it difficult. And you know what? The part that's odd about it, even though you tell yourself, they're better off this way, it doesn't change. It doesn't change the fact that it's just their family member, et cetera. So.
Yeah.
Well, that's why a lot of people go out and get another puppy, It just kind of...
Fill the void.
Fill the void, and I avoided the void the last time.
Well,
and don't go to game fair.
No, that's it. I've told you that. I got to stay away because I know there's so many kennels there that I got pups. And
they're there.
Those pups are, every one of them has got the eyes that say, take me home.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, exactly right.
Well, it helped that we have another dog at home.
Right.
If I came home to an empty house, that'd be a different story. And if we weren't having twins... Maybe another puppy.
I don't think now's the time, though.
I don't think so either. If we get another dog, it'll be a shelter dog.
Well, it could help you in the potty training thing.
Yeah.
I put too much time into puppies. I don't have the time.
No.
Oh, trust. We went through the whole training on the other dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Well, anyway, Ava, we certainly feel for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
It's a difficult thing, so.
We miss you, Piper.
There you go. R.I.P. Piper. So, Don.
So, where are we not catching walleyes?
10 reasons.
10 reasons.
Full 10 reasons that you're not catching walleyes.
I can give you one.
Well, there's a lot of them.
Okay.
I mean, and I mean, there's more than 10, but we're taking the high.
If you don't have mine in there, I'll bring it up.
Now, yours would be catfish.
No.
Yep. So this is a good buddy of mine, Gary Parsons. He fishes the PWT, or used to fish PWT, fishes the National Walleye Tour. Fantastic angler. And one of those things that really, all these come up as you experience them on a tour. And it's by mistake, or you learn from your mistakes. One of the, however you want to bring it up. So one of the things that is big, a lot of people use live bait, right?
Yep.
And one of those issues is the natural movement of live bait is important. So the number one thing is your bait's not fresh enough. And it's true.
Okay.
Whether you're using
crawlers,
minnows, change them every 5 to 10 minutes based on how the bait looks. Crawlers can get stretched out. They can look weak, and they're not very juicy looking.
You haven't fished in Canada recently.
No. But the point really comes down to, in the case we're using live bait, crawler harnesses, and we've done this, we've tried using night crawlers versus a gulp crawler, and in that environment, I'm sorry, no matter what anybody tells you, a crawler will outperform on a crawler harness. When you're trolling, a crawler will outperform a gulp or plastic every day of the week and twice on Sundays. Unfortunately, for those of you that won't believe it. Now, if
that's
you're
me.
Jigging or pitching or doing something like that, then you don't have a static bait presentation where you're moving it and creating that live bait action, then you're going to have that because they'll come up and they won't bite that crawler that's on a crawler harness. So that's one. Number two, your jigs are too heavy.
Yeah.
Now, use the lightest jig possible. Heavy jigs make it harder to feel strikes, which are usually very subtle resistance. Well, my point is, too, with jig fishing, hook sets are free. Whether it's jig fishing or otherwise, hook sets are free. Some, you know, in the seminars that I do, people ask, well, how do you know what a bite feels like? Well, if you think there's something abnormal, set the hook. And what happens is the number of times that you suddenly realize, oh, that was a rock, you become educated into what a bite feels like. And that will change the best anglers from those that are not. And it's a big deal. So one of the things that I believe in strongly is when you're beginning fishing, use a heavier jig. You're going to get hung up a little more, but you need to feel where the bottom is. If you can't feel the bottom and somebody says, we need a lighter jig, then there's no reason you should be using a lighter jig. So be aware, if you can't feel the bottom, let that happen. Go with the quarter ounce rather than an eighth or 3/16. Use that weight to tell you what's going on. And if you're a beginner, make sure that you understand when you're casting a jig, it also tells you a lot about what the bottom content is. If you're catching fish or all of a sudden you get one and then, oh, wow, I just felt it was rock and then transitioned to sand. Or it's really rocky here and you go some other place and you think it looks like the same on shore and it doesn't feel the same. You've got to pull up and that's when you start using your graph and look at what the contours look like. Set up a milk run based on those same type of inside corners, outside cuts, tips, points, underwater points, and current areas if you're on a river scenario. So utilize the jig as a depth finder and content identifier on what's going on in the bottom. And if you find fish, make sure that you're feeling the same thing.
Actually, that was a method we used when I was on my last trip. And we were finding them right on that transition. Jigging, you could tell when you're hitting the rock, and then you come hit the soft bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And 34 feet was the number.
There you go. But you probably were using quarter-ounce jigs, my guess is.
Yep.
Or three, you know, in that area.
Yeah.
Would be my guess. The next one, your jigs and rigs are dragging on the bottom. Okay. Now, there's certain pieces and parts of this in my mind that, yeah, that can be if you're snagging up a lot. And that's one of the things is the more you drag, the more you snag. But if you're identifying, and one of those things that comes up is on Mille Lac Lake or sandy areas that you're going to find, when you pitch a jig and you're dragging it, those walleyes will absolutely pin that bait to the bottom and they will bite and grab it. So dragging is not necessarily a bad thing as long as you identify the areas you can do that. Sandy areas, dune areas where the, if there's current that it creates a dune, those fish will hang behind the dunes. And let that be your guide. And really one of the things that happened was we were fishing and the wind was blowing us. We were up on Leech Lake and we were jigging and I put my rod down and I went to go grab something from the back of the boat because you're using a jig and a leech. I came back up and I was trying to get a fresh leeches, swap them out in the ice. I came back up and I looked at the rod tip and I'm like, well, there's a fish on it. Set the hook and it was one of the bigger fish of the day. Well, guess what? Everyone was lifting and dropping. We suddenly changed the dragging, and guess what? We lit them up. So understand, yes, if you drag too much, you snag, but also understand that if you're not on the bottom or close, you're not going
to
get
the bottom has fish. A lot to do with whether you can use that approach.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. You're casting too far. Long cast range give you more snags and a lot of times give you less fish detection. Especially when fishing jigs. Position the boat so you can make short casts, say 30 feet or so, which gives the jig a nice pendulum fall. And everything is going to depend on the jig itself. If you're using casting or jigging wraps or ripping wraps, you can get a longer cast, say 75 feet. And the reason is you want to be able to have a longer distance to get that bait to the boat so those fish can make a decision. And that's one of those things that come into play. The heavier baits, like I said, the number 9 jigging wraps, Rapala jigging wraps, and the number 6 ripping wraps, those are going to give you a longer distance cast. And what I'm also making sure you do in that case, if you're doing that, use a jig, use a braid. I use nano braid, a suffix nano braid, and you tie in about an 18-inch leader of, about 12 to 15-pound fluorocarbon.
Mm-hmm.
You tie a loop knot on the braid, tie a regular improved clinch onto that, and then you simply tie your jig or your crank on it or your jigging wrap, whatever. That will create the difference, especially if you're in clear water, the fluorocarbon is needed. Otherwise, it's the feel you get from that braid in those situations that changes it. So use that for a jig. You don't have to go all mono. Put that braid on. Give yourself the sensitivity to understand, again, what is really a bite and what's not. You're cranking the weed edges too slowly, right? Weed edges are reaction strikes. So if you can line up and cast a weed edge along it, that's one of the things that comes into play. Don't do it slowly, reel it fast, and get the reaction strike so those fish are going to come out and hammer that bait. You're trolling too fast. One of the things to keep in mind here, let the fish tell you what they want. If trolling too fast is one of the things that comes up, well, you can certainly slow down. But one of the things that I find many people make the mistake on, and I got caught doing it many times, I was trolling too slow. I'm trolling cranks at maybe 2.1. Vary it. Go up to 2.8 or 2.9. On your Minn Kota handheld, it's called HSB, High Speed Bypass. Punch it twice. It'll bring you up to full throttle and then shut it back off. It's going to create reaction strikes. If you're running with planer boards, you're running long lines, it's going to give you the advantage. It's going to create a trigger or it's going to create a triggering strike. You're neglecting your electronics. That's a big one. I just was out last couple days going out with people, kind of helping them understand how to set up their electronics, how to set up their boats, and how to utilize the spot lock on the Minn Kota, the bow mounts, to their full advantage. And it's amazing. It just takes a little time to research, a little time to understand what things look like inside image, in 2D sonar, as well as down image. And when you start putting the pieces together, it all starts to make sense, and you can identify key fish holding areas. So that's a big one. You're leaving fish behind. Number 9, when you're several bites, you're trolling. Instead of continuing your planned route, stop, turn around, and go back over it. A lot of times these fish are podded up, and that's you should see in a tournament environment when you find a pod, and people know it's a podded scenario, how fast people will flip their lines in, turn the boat around and get back on it. And it turns into a kind of a comical show because you're trying to get everything reset back, put back down, and hit that pot of fish before somebody else comes over that same pot of fish that you just caught maybe one or two fish on. So understand you can identify it. One of the ways I did this, I was trolling crankbaits on one of the spots you're fishing with a friend of mine. And we marked fish on the bottom, and we didn't catch anything, but I marked a pot of fish that I thought were walleye. We made a whole stretch. I came back. I said, let's start out here. First time I ever used slow death. And I was getting ready to go out to the tournament in South Dakota, which I won using that technique. Came back. We're trolling along. I had two rods in. I was rigging up a third one, and my buddy's like, we're snagged up. I said, it's not possible. This is all sand. He grabs a rod. It was a 28. Gets that to the boat. We net it. The other rod's bouncing. That's the only rod now in the water. I'm just putting the other one out, dropped it down. 26 and a half, and we had a 25. We had three fish off that one pot of fish simply by identifying and using electronics on that particular part of the gig. So, and number 10, you're pumping the rod. Don't pump the rod or set the hook while you're trolling. Now, that's a fallacy too, in a way. Sometimes you want just the trolling to take its effect, but a lot of times if you're trolling harnesses on Green Bay, specifically one of the tournaments we were fishing, we actually pulled the line forward with the planer board on it, let it go, let it settle, and that spinner would settle down and kind of tumble. Bam, fish would hit it. But you had to be doing that with all four boards to get those fish to go. So understand action, maybe making S turns, fast inside, fast outside. Those are the key elements that are going to change how you succeed or don't succeed when you're fishing for walleye. So those are your top 10 what to do and what not to do.
I'll have one.
What's that?
One thing that I always tell guys is they don't think about the fact when they're putting on bug spray or hand lotion, you know, or their sunscreen and things like that, and they don't wash their hands properly. And you get any of that on your bait.
Oh, it's done.
It's lights out. I mean, you're done.
Unless you got WD-40, but that's okay. But everything else is no
good. Everything else is no good. So if you got gas on your hands, anything other than soap that will erase scents.
Keep that in the boat. It's always a good thing. Well, that about wraps up the show, you guys. I appreciate you hanging in with us today. Lots of cool stories. And, of course, for Don, Ava, and myself, we are the Valley Outdoors. Join us next week. We're going to have a lot of fun. And, go out there and have some fun in the outdoors yourself. See ya.